Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the path to self-leadership mastery and life success. Redefine how you lead as you redesign your business. I call this dual innovation leadership. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and effectively. Discover something new from our meaningful conversation today.
Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today we're entering episode 380, Stepping Out of the Linear Career Lane with Edmund Hewitt, Part 1. Enjoy. So as a kid growing up on a farm in Midwestern Canada, Edmund Hewitt spent countless hours lost in imaginative storytelling, obsessing over all things relating to aviation, architecture, and illustration. His penchant for expressive design helped to lay a formative foundation for what would eventually blossom into a long career in brand advertising. Edmund emerged as a creative director in a New York City-based company of 20-plus advertising, design, and PR firms working for clients like Honda, TD Bank, Expedia, Singapore Airlines, Microsoft, and Kenneth Cole Fashions. In 2016, he shifted gears to focus his time and attention on revisiting his childhood passion for aviation and built a practice area in the airline space with a partner. Revisiting his childhood passion connected him with a longtime friend, Peter Clark, in a new way. Together, they formed an aviation-focused design firm partnership called Forward Studio. It isn't often that we can have a childhood friendship evolve into a business partnership, an entrepreneurial collaborator like Edmund found with his Canadian friend, Peter Clark. Through their collaboration and innovative thinking, they expanded their international airline branding and public relations studio work to include brand design, PR, media, advertising, and special events. We're going to be talking about those. Recently, it occurred to Edmund that he could explore another dimension of himself outside of Forward Studio. He said in our podcast planning session, "Every advertising campaign begins with sketches. I draw the sketches," he says. He begins wondering if there is a market for his aviation drawings. He begins to ask the question which starts an innovative journey. Is there a market for aviation drawings? That curious question is where we find Edmund Hewitt this morning, in a creative space, stepping out of his linear career lane. I'm eager to have a meaningful conversation with him to see if I can add some value as he navigates this new development in his life. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays, Edmund. We're doing this.
Good morning, Nancy. Hello.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. It's Monday. I think the day gets better and better for me. The mornings are usually like, oh God,
then, here we go.
As we turn the corner on noon, it gets better and better. So I'm very much looking forward to chatting with you. I had such a great chat in our planning call a few weeks ago. So nice to get back to you.
Yeah, good. Same here. So what inspired you kind of last week to take another step out of the linear career lane and consider publishing your artwork or illustrations?
You know, I think it's a combination of factors. You know, it's like a push-pull, I think. Part of my decision to explore more personal art comes sort of as a byproduct from the work that I'm doing commercially. You mentioned sort of from a creative point of view, a lot of my thoughts start as sketches. That has always been how I've sort of worked professionally. And now there are some opportunities coming my way professionally that are asking or that are, you know, provoking a bigger question, such as, can, you know, your personal point of view as an artist be overlaid onto something that might be more commercial? So for example, working with a range of clients on the PR side of our business to create an environment that brings media journalists together in the airline space, and using art as a backdrop to create sort of a tone, a certain sort of themed backdrop that really just gives the event a little bit more credence. So whether it's my art or whether it's me working with other artists, putting something on the wall that sort of speaks to airline from a more personal art perspective, as opposed to a commercial branding project, which those are great too, but they don't have the same virtues. I mean, art for the sake of art has a greater virtue. And I think some of our clients want to be aligned with that, not something that comes across so commercial, which, yeah, you know, doesn't have the same virtue. So it's sort of like a weird sort of conflation, really, of like professional opportunities and then where I am at my life in my 50s and drawing on my art, which has always been there, but I've never really tapped into it. But this project, this opportunity professionally, is sort of bringing me to sort of a bit of a crossroads, which, you know, based on your question about, you know, what is your connection personally as an artist and how is that sort of coming to life? That's sort of like, I think my best way of explaining it really is like, there's a bit of a work requirement and I'm trying to do things a little differently and stepping out of that lane, so to speak, to challenge myself as an artist is kind of where I find myself.
Yeah, that kind of adds to my next question about what you're learning about yourself in this process.
Well, I mean, it's interesting as a creative director and as somebody who works, you know, as a design professional, it's a very different place than when you put yourself directly in the line of fire as an artist. And it, you know,
yeah,
definitely this weekend I was working on some art and I was having those, I'm sure it's a bit cliche, but I'm sure it happens with a lot of people where it's like, you're in the middle of working on something and you're thinking, what am I doing?
what is this about?
What is this? Like, this is crazy. So you're constantly challenging yourself because you're putting yourself out there in a way that you're not used to. And yet, ironically, I'm in front of clients. I'm on calls. I'm in a boardroom presenting. I'm leading a team of creative people. That's putting myself in the front as well. But this is very different. This is way more, like, you're way more exposed. And so, that's the hard part right now. That's the challenge.
Yeah, that is the challenge of exploring kind of this new dimension while you're also keeping the work moving.
Yeah.
And then these big questions come up right in the middle of while you're working.
Yeah. And but the question is like, okay, you're putting yourself out there. Like, are you ready for this? Versus you're doing something on behalf of a client, you know, is it sound? And, you know, but the personal exposure as me, as an artist is scarier.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because I don't think of myself as an artist either. Like, I really am not a trained formal artist, but I'm realizing that I have something to say artistically. And I need to get more comfortable with that. I need to refine that craft and I need to be okay with it. So.
Well, didn't you start your design career that way too?
Yeah, I did that as a personal endeavor. So things that would keep me occupied when I was bored at home, I would draw. And then later on, those drawings became really useful when I was sketching a concept in an office, like a studio. But it was all very behind the scenes. And then even after that, when I go out with friends and it's a special occasion, I'll draw a little thank you. I'll do a thank you note because I love the thank you notes. But I always do a little drawing. I do a little doodle and people love it. They're like, this is really, and it's fun. It's easy because it's personal. Now I'm at this next sort of phase where it's like, okay, you're going to take that and do it in a way that it's going to be more of a professional setting. Like that's not so easy. So even though I've always done it, I think the context is a little different now and I have to rise to the occasion basically.
Well, and each time you do it, if you notice like a little aspect of yourself. Like, oh, that part of me was courageous today. And yes. I just want to acknowledge that part today.
Yes. That's yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you because this weekend I was having those moments, you know, where I'm like, oh, God, and I would have, you know, Nancy, where were you on Sunday afternoon with that comment? Because I needed to hear that.
Good. Well, I find that whenever we're trying out something new in a different way, we are like so harsh with ourselves about like we have to have it perfect because you've spent your career perfecting, right? Your design work and everything. And so when you're stepping out in a new dimension, you think you're adding that same level.
Yeah.
And the 10,000 hours in already.
Oh God. Yeah. No, you're so true. It's so correct. And I, you know, I'm not there yet, but, and it's a collaborative process. So you mentioned Peter, who, you know, is, you know, my partner in crime when it comes to all things entrepreneurial and business. He's also a very good friend of mine. So he's the kind of person that I can sound ideas off of. And it's a vital part of the mix. And, but, you know, artists don't like to share. Artists are very personal about their work. And so sometimes it's hard to open up even to somebody that you know very well, or maybe it's harder because they know you so well. But it's part of that whole sort of collaborative process that, you know, you need to be part of. So
I find sometimes when I'm doing something, like when I'm writing, even for like our conversation, I'll take some time to write up a post about it. And I'm not ready to, there's a point where I'm not ready to release it yet. Like I'm still emotionally kind of connected to our conversation and to what I'm writing. And I'm, you know, there's a little bit of like, I don't want that exposure yet. It's finding that little space for myself. Like, I just want to stay with this for a little bit longer and then I'll release it. It's not like I won't release it, but I'm finding a place of compassion with myself so that I'm not forcing myself to release something prematurely. Well, when then I feel, you know, like I've exposed myself and I'm not ready for criticism. And then that, you know, makes me feel bad and I feel shaming. And,
It's very much the same struggle I have, even on a commercial project. You know, it's the same thing. It's your idea is your baby.
Yeah.
And part of what clients are paying for really is, and I don't think they know this, but they're paying for somebody to really own the idea emotionally and spiritually. And they're really paying to have somebody convey that with that conviction. That's why some creatives are very passionate and it can be a really intense experience. But when clients go through that process and they come out on the other side and they feel like, wow, like somebody's really, really given themselves to this approach on our behalf. And they feel that energy. And that's usually a good thing. But it's integral, whether it's personal or commercial, the creative process and the sharing of an idea to others is sacred. And if clients feel that, it usually means that the work has been, you know, well thought of, well, been thoughtful, and they usually respond positively to it. So,
yeah, that's the innovative design process, right? Is like you want to involve everybody to the emotional degree where when you're finished with the project, everybody feels like they grew in a way they didn't realize.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
or couldn't have anticipated in the beginning. Yeah.
World is all about storytelling. So when I'm conveying a visual idea, it's usually born out of a story, and the story needs to align strategically with a whole set of criteria that is the business. That's the trick. But the imaginative storytelling part is crucial. And, you know, that's like the arc that you create in the presentation, and you have to start here and it's somewhat cathartic, and but you've got to hit all the notes. I like all those things. I love of it. I feed off the adrenaline, but to your point, you know, the idea itself is precious. The concepts are really fragile, and, you know, coming to terms with how and when to to open that up to others, you know, is not always very easy. It's a struggle. So.
Yeah. Well, if you take what works really well when you're doing the commercial design work, because the process is very similar, it's just closer emotionally to you because you're trying to get it out of yourself instead of getting it out of the client. Right. Like if you view yourself as I'm working with the client myself, I'm the client. And so I'm going to see myself through this process that I'm very familiar with, that I'm comfortable with. I can bring others in then, because sometimes in the process, we need one little step away from ourselves.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we get too deep into ourselves and then we kind of, that's where we end up kind of getting stuck.
Well, that's the collaborative part, is that you really have to invite people, certain people.
Certain people.
You know, Peter is great because, you know, he'll just look at it and he'll be like, what are you doing? How dare you? Like, how could you say that? But then, you know, he often has, you know, he's a very good opinion of things. But you got it, if it was up to me, I'm sure I would just not involve anyone. I would just keep it all in that bubble, and you can't do that. But there is a gestation period, which is all very personal, and that's where I just need my own time. And then, you know, pick your moment and share it, and then, you know, move it along. But when it's my own art, you know, that's very different in a way, because first of all, it's new territory. Second of all, it's even more personal. And thirdly, there's just the craft of expressing it in a certain medium is something that, you know, I'm not super confident in. It's not like, you know, I work in charcoals every day. You know, I'm not a professional artist. Now I'm working in charcoals and I'm learning how to manipulate the medium so there's all of that is like, oh my God. But I feel like I'm moving forward. And with any luck, I'll come out on the other side with something that I'm happy with or that others find value in. So,
yeah, giving yourself plenty of time to kind of play with the medium.
Yes.
How are you? So that's kind of what I was thinking too, in terms of a question, like, how are you straddling between running your international forward studio with Peter and breaking out into your own dimension?
I think
aspect of yourself.
Yeah, they're very intertwined. And it's interesting that the PR side of our business is driving a lot of my personal contributions based on the description of that project that we're working on, where we're bringing sponsors and media journalists to an event that we're going to conceive of and create and bring to life, where art, which is a component that I'm going to contribute in, is going to be part of that backdrop. So it's sort of weirdly, you know, it's brought in through the PR business, professional, and yet it's tapping a personal part. So right now I'm spending a lot of time on the concept. And I have an idea for the overall concept, which is revolving around this word microcosm. So that word to me is sort of it just really is the umbrella to everything. And I've let it sit as I've been working on things, and I revisit that core concept, and it still holds true, is that airliners are microcosms. They're worlds within a world. They're worlds in motion. They're worlds in flux. And you can really look at it from all kinds of perspectives. You can look at the physical engineering of an aircraft that is allowed to be pressurized in the sky, traveling at 500 miles an hour, and yet people in the cabin are enjoying, you know, doing things. And there's this whole sort of like, and it's fascinating. And it's part of what drives people's fascination with air travel is that, you know, you are literally untethered from the ground. And there's something quite spiritual about that, that there's a ceremony of departure involving safety and protocol, but also social mores and social, you know, habits. To me, that whole microcosm theme is sort of really important. And I think it's the kind of idea that a corporate sponsor, an airline or an airline manufacturer, aircraft, you know, whoever that company is, they can get behind that. That's a big idea that could mean a lot of things to different people. So that was one of the first sort of steps, is come up with a concept, a story called Microcosm, bring it to life with words, and then figure out how to layer on top of that artistic endeavors that take the notion of Microcosm and explore it creatively. So maybe it's selecting a handful of artists. I'm one of them, but there's other artists, and see how they interpret the concept of Microcosm as it relates to all things airliner. So that would be like the brief.
Wow.
Now we're going to reach out to artists. And you know, what I'm learning is that art and aircraft, like the world of travel and air travel, has always been inspiring to artists. And if you do research, you find artists have been inspired by airplanes and travel. So part of it is understanding kind of different avenues that you could take, letting artists have the creative freedom to explore them, and then curating that in a really careful way, so that what you end up with is somewhat on point, but also, wow, that's beautiful. Like, that's a really interesting, like one of the things that I want to work on is I do cutaways.
Okay.
So I can visualize an aircraft, and I can, just by memory, I can draw, like on a napkin, I can draw a cutaway. I can show you the insides, all the seats, the lavatories, the eye, like, so I'm going to do a big one, a large, large format one. And then I'm going to screen print it and do something very sort of large scale with it. Partially because I would just love to have that in my apartment. I think that would just look really nice. So
So I like the way you have like dual purposes to things.
Oh, yeah. It's quite, and it's tricky because, you know, but today we had a call with, I can't say the name of the aircraft manufacturer, but they're one of the big manufacturers in the world. Like, you know, there's Boeing, there's Airbus. These are, well, this is a very note, and we're talking to the global communications director for the company. and we were just very off the record saying we have this idea and we want to use art as a backdrop to create a mixer for journalists and draw attention to. He's like, I love the idea. He goes, you know, careful you don't do this. I would be careful with that. He goes, I really like where you're going with this. It's different. Keep me informed. So we're getting a temperature read from possible partners.
Nice.
So that's the fine line that we're walking professionally. And meanwhile, Peter's like, do you have something good? Like, you better have something good that we're going to show them. I'm like, I'm working with Peter. Like, give me, you know.
Give me a day,
please. Financing. I need motivation.
Really? Oh my gosh, I got drawer's block.
And then you've got Nancy on line 5. Thank you, Nancy. Speak to me. Help me.
I'm on speed dial.
You're on speed dial. So that's just a little bit of, and I'm talking about it also because it's not fully formed yet. It's a malleable, inspired notion. It's starting to take shape. I've got the story in my mind. I have to now pull together things to kind of move it along. But that is kind of where,
yeah, I think that the motivation behind, like, you had the idea sorted out enough so you could run it by, get feedback. And you're like, oh my gosh, now they want to run with it? Oh boy, you know, I produce something.
Oh, I know. This is always, it's always like you talk a little out of your ass on the call. You're like, absolutely. And this is so exciting. And then you hang up and you're like, what am I doing? What the hell am I doing? Like, but
when am I supposed to have this done?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah.
And I like to draw on my own terms and I love design, but I'm not somebody who's always been fascinated with the craft and mechanics of art. Like, I've never really been that interested in, like, take a picture and then develop the picture in a dark room. I did the course. I didn't like it. I'm just not patient in that way. I'm more like, let me lose myself in thought and then apply it from a design perspective, you know, digitally, you know. So for me to venture into areas of art that require a certain degree of training, And understanding of how, like, how do you do a large screen print? So I had to find a screen printer in the city here, visit them and talk to them. And so this is really good for me. It's like, okay, you're learning, you're meeting people, you know, and it's hopefully going to help when you have your cutaway ready to go.
Well, that's what entrepreneurs do. I mean, they are very resourceful. And you're marrying, you know, the creative and the art with the money part.
Yes.
You know, making a living through what you're doing. And that's what the trickiest part is, because we're never really motivated by the money, although we love the money.
Oh, God.
Right?
So
It's you're motivated by the work and the inspiration behind it. And like you're even talking about, it needs a larger context, like a spiritual dimension. And it needs to feel like it's real.
Yeah, money is sort of the necessary evil, but it's really not the driver. In fact, you know, the money is it's like, oh God, like I got to pay the rent. You know, I got bills to pay. Like I need the money to do all these things, especially in New York City. But it's certain moments along the way that matter, whether it's, you know, at the end of the day, the client is like, wow, or the media picks up on it and they write a story on it and it helps our firm and it gives me cred. Like, you know, these are byproducts of doing something where it's not just the money, it's the accolade, it's the just a sense of like, wow, we did it. Like Peter and I have put things on in the past, and usually it's Peter who signs me up. Like that's why we make a good partnership, because he's more like bullish. And once I'm like a dog with a bone, and once I'm locked in, you can't stop me, but it's not easy.
Absolutely not. And that's why you do it. And that's part of why you're here. Right. This is your life work, and it's taking on this new dimension, and you're very inspired about it. And we need that newness to bring into our work, to liven it up, and to also elevate ourselves and the work that we're doing in a new way. And it builds credibility, you know, and puts you in a new arena of development professionally. But also, you know, it's that personal thing. It's like being an actor in different movies. Like the movies elevate you in different ways. But over a lifetime, if you've done a lot of movies that a lot of people have seen and really been able to critique, that really build a really successful career from that, because you're getting your peers behind you as well.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's fine line, but it is validating. And it's, you know, we are human. We are social creatures. We feed off of, you know, stimuli around us. So having people respond or react to things you've done are really good. They can also be really bad, obviously, too. And you can get caught up, but it's not just the money. It's people receiving your idea with generosity, or it's nurturing, right? Like you need to have that on some level. I love the word newness. I just wrote that down, because I think finding newness in life, the word newness is such a good word. I'm going to mark that one down.
Well, and in your 50s, I mean, whatever you don't have resolved in your family life or in your career life, it's like your opportunity to kind of say, hey, there's still some time. Or now I need to resolve this issue with my parents. I've been, you know, or whatever it is, you know, or, you know, relationship stuff that is just not done, you know, like you need to like sort it out differently. But the 50s are that new exploration time where you've got like, you know, you're looking at retirement, but you know, it's the way we're working. I mean, we have a, you know, 80 some year old president. I mean, he's setting the bar very high for what we can do as we age. A country when you're in your 80s.
Absolutely. Like, you know, society can be very ageist, and especially in the media world,
we're seeing it very much so. Yeah.
You know, we all see it. And so you fight that as much as you can. And then you see someone like, you know, President Biden, who, you know, whether you like his politics or not, just think as an individual who is able to function at a high level with a team that is an incredible team, obviously. It's not just him, but, you know, that it bodes well for what life looks like 50 plus. And I don't want to retire. I don't understand retirement like my parents know retirement. I kind of always want to be engaged and busy. To some degree, I have to be, but more so, I would want to be doing things that are exciting to me, interesting to me. These passion projects, I think, are interesting because, you know, they pay the bills, but they're also reinforcing my humanity on some level. It's not pure advertising where you're working with a client and it's like, okay, this client is horrible, and but they're paying us a lot of money. I mean, I know so many people. We've all been there. We've all done things. Yeah. And it's like, wouldn't it be nice to get paid for something that, you know, actually is rewarding on a different level? And so that's why I find this conversation such very timely, Nancy, is that finding that new lane, stepping up in your lane, as it relates to where I am at my age, is really, really important to me right now.
Yeah. And what you're developing right now is like something you can take, you know, and do as a hobby, you know, when you're finished with all the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel that that's the direction you want to take. But it's, you know, that's what we get the longer we live. If we're lucky to have our life and our health and our energy to do things, is we explore life in a lot of wider variety, kind of like the HD width of our screens, you know, all of a sudden is wider, you know, all of a sudden our view is wider of life. And it looks pretty incredible. Helps. Like I can... We can develop these other things. Like, who knew?
Life in Letterbox. I mean, who knew?
That's right. Well, this has been a delight. I would like to continue our conversation in a second conversation, and we'll kind of just see where it takes us. But I would really, we're in a good space, I think, to kind of delve a little bit deeper into what you're up to.
Sure.
All right. So thank you so much as a guest mentor. You know, that's what mentoring is. It's a collaboration between people, and we both kind of learn through the process of conversation a little bit more about us, each other, and we learn a little bit about ourselves. So, and thank you, listener, for tuning in, and I'm excited to bring you another conversation with Edmund Hoot. Do you want to expand your leadership skills and become more resilient and competent as a business owner? Do you want to bring more meaning to your relationships and more purpose to your business? Are you ready to take charge of how you innovate, create, and run your business? Our dual innovation leadership process will help you redefine how you lead as you redesign your business. We collaborate with you to do what will work for you as you evolve and change. We start with where you are, whether you are turning around a financial crisis, growing to the next level, or somewhere in between. We address your immediate needs, shore up business development gaps, expand relational literacy, and build upon your entrepreneurial leadership skill sets with a short-term results orientation and a long-term perspective. Start by subscribing to this podcast at wementor.com or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you are ready to hire a mentor, contact me at nancy@wementor.com. When we mentor, you create better life and a more fulfilling future. As an entrepreneurial leader / innovator, as a competent business owner / practitioner, as a mentor / role model, and as a human being courageously living a meaningful life. As Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. Get involved today. It's never too late to change your life and how you lead.